Bringing development to Northwest Jacksonville. Good morning, and live from Studio 5, this is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Jessica Palumbo in for Melissa Ross. We're always live here at 9, and make sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. You can catch up on all of our shows at wjctnews.org or through the WJCT app. Just ahead, Northwest Jacksonville is a desert when it comes to fresh food and banks. Some local organizations are working together to try to change that. Join our conversation at 549-2937 or on our Facebook page or email us at firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. Then later, we'll hear from Jackie Evancho, who will be singing the national anthem at the Trump inauguration. Plus, travel writer Judy Wells shares her favorite holiday trips in the Southeast. All of that and more is just ahead. But first, this hour, two of the organizations working to transform Northwest Jacksonville are the Northwest Jacksonville Community Development Corporation and the Local Initiative Support Corporation, commonly called LISC. They're putting in action some research on what makes communities sustainable, including building a community-owned grocery store and opening what's called a Financial Opportunity Center at Edward Waters College. To our listeners, what questions or comments do you have about development in Northwest Jacksonville? What projects would you like to see undertaken? Join our conversation now at 549-2937. Joining me in the studio to take your calls is LISC CEO Janet Owens. Good morning.
Good morning, Jessica.
And CEO of the Northwest Jacks Community Development Corporation, Paul Tutwiler. Welcome.
Good morning, Jessica.
Paul Tutwiler, let's start with you. Food deserts are a problem in many cities, and that's an area where it's hard to find fresh food, right? So how has Northwest Jacksonville become a food desert? Can you give us a little history lesson here?
Sure. We know that many communities went through transitions and had a lot to do with affluency going to the suburbs. So as communities declined, some stores just did not survive. We certainly missed many of them, and so there was no new reinvestment within the community. So we're troubled as we began to look at ways to restore the community at simply bringing fresh fruits and vegetables because the people who live there actually need them for nutrition.
And before we get into some of these projects that are underway, I want to ask you to explain to our listeners, what is the District of Seoul? How did that come about?
That's funny. Well, it's a conversation with ourselves. Many of the communities come together to understand the terrible image that Northwest Jacksonville has unfortunately received. And so we began to talk about ways that we could rebrand ourselves. There are many people who went on to national and international acclaim from our very community. Mm-hmm. So we want to be able to talk about those experiences. So when we look at our wonderful sister communities around Jacksonville, the beaches, San Marco, Avondale, we said, well, why not Northwest Jacksonville? We don't want to be known for all the wrong things. So together we decided, well, let's talk about our heritage. And so ultimately, as we kind of began to think about that, we're just really coming out saying, historically, there were wonderful things that came from this community that was unfortunately segregated at one point. So we claim it. We own it. We are the District of Seoul.
Okay. Janet Owens, as you've told us before, LISC, or the Local Initiative Support Corporation, typically works behind the scenes in Jacksonville to make neighborhoods a place where anyone would want to live. I believe that's what you told me last time we spoke. Okay, so how does LISC make that happen?
So we do two things to make that happen, Jessica. First off, we listen very carefully to what the community and the residents within that community say they want for their community. Paul is an incredible partner with LISC. He has been leading the charge in Northwest Jacksonville, but to support him in that work and other nonprofit partners like him, we ensure that the right people are coming to the table, that the leaders that exist in that community are being heard and are there making the decisions. And as you say, we come in behind the scenes and provide expertise, the information, the data, the resources, the best practices that help those leaders and those key players like a Paul Tutwiler be able to marshal the resources and marshal the partners from the bigger community in order to move major projects forward. Like Paul is such an incredible example of how that works. And we ensure that it is always done in partnership and that we don't get ahead. So often programs come in, they parachute in, they come in for a while, but what makes things sustainable is having that on-the-ground leadership, and Paul is so reflective of the success of that.
Thank you, Tammy.
LISC is part of a national organization, so how does that help with the financing for projects like affordable housing or for commercial development?
That's a great question. So with our model, we are in 44 states, and particularly in the Southeast, we're in a lot of rural communities. If you look across the country, we are in 2,000 counties around the United States, in addition to 31 urban markets like Chicago or New York or Jacksonville or Richmond. And what we do through that national network is learn about best practices, who has mastered putting, as Paul is now doing, creating senior housing in his neighborhood. And we bring that information and success practices to our partners so that they can leverage best practices, know which minefields to avoid, and then be able to do projects. And the biggest piece of what we do is bring the investment. We come into very risky deals, but because we've worked hard to understand financing, and right now we're one of the few nonprofits in the country that has a AA rating from Standard & Poor's. That's highly unusual, but it speaks to the business acumen that we bring to the table through our national network and provide and leverage that with our local partners.
Okay, so maybe in a place where the private market isn't investing, you're helping them reduce their risk, right?
Yes, yes. So where the marketplace typically will shy away from, we help set the stage so that they will welcome the opportunity to come into our communities.
Okay. And Paul Tutwiler, your CDC is located in a mall, right? It's shopping center in the corner of Moncrief Road and Myrtle Avenue, and that's a fairly new project that your group undertook. Can you tell us about that first off?
Absolutely. We had a vision about the turn of the recession as we began to hopefully reestablish our community with stable homeowners. And many of our area residents were saying, you know what, we'd love to purchase a home, but we really need a job. So we began to think about that in terms of being able to see where Jacksonville's growth was and the, quite frankly, the impediments to getting to those locations. So we thought it necessary for us to think about a town center, a business node right in the middle of the community. We're very proud to have a LEED certified silver building right there, and it's so modern it stands out and purposefully done because we really do want to be a beacon. We want everyone to come in around us and continue the private investment around this new modern facility. So yes, it was a vision that the community actually had that we thought it necessary for us to think about the creation of yes, jobs, but more importantly new businesses with new business owners who are right there from the community.
So what is next, and this is really the heart of what we're talking about here, what is next for the expansion of that project at that corner?
So phase two of North Point Town Center is actually a grocery store. And we began to talk nationally to many of the grocers about our community and the number of dollars that we know leave our community to provide these services. If you need to buy groceries, sometimes you have to travel for miles. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's especially a challenge if you have poor transportation or, quite frankly, no transportation. So we began to try to lure them in with various incentives, and the numbers were just not working. We went through a learning curve because even though we're mission-based and we understand our numbers, as we talked to many of the national grocers, they were telling us that the income of the area residents were too low. So we began to talk to many of the stakeholders that Janet was referring to, including our good friends, iCare, who really spare a real strong arm for inclusion and working on issues of poverty. And we were in many conversations about how can we do this? How can we, in fact, bring wealth to area residents? Mm-hmm. So we came up with a new idea that's not so new, but we thought that maybe we could have a community-owned grocery store. And so we began to put the idea together and looking at some national best practices, to Janet's point, on how this is modeled and being able to build what soon will be a 16,500 square foot grocery store in the heart of the community.
Is in a community-owned grocery store, is that the same as a co-op?
It is.
Okay. So I understand you recently went on a fact-finding mission in
yes.
California. Tell us what you learned out there about co-ops.
Amazing. To understand that it can work, it's really, really a challenge. You begin to understand there's more than one model. There's the worker-owned model where literally the people who are employed at the center are literally the owners of the shop. Mm-hmm. And then there are the kind that people actually purchase, I don't want to say stock, but it's a pretty close analogy, but they own a percentage of it. And so you can purchase that on an annual basis, and it helps bring down the cost of operations. So we're really excited. We think that we're going to do a blend of the two. In talking to our friends, and I'll say our co-architects of this great idea at iCare, mm-hmm. we think that we're going to be able to literally attract thousands of people to our community because we think that we can provide Whole Foods. Not just any kind of foods that's, you know, outdated and, oh, goodness, it's cheap or, you know, we don't want to sacrifice quality. Mm-hmm. In a community that's already long-suffering, we think that we deserve the best so that our elderly and very vulnerable populations, our children can get all the nutrition they need in order to do the best and accelerate as we know they can.
And how far are you along toward this goal?
A lot further than you might imagine. We're in the middle of designing the store. Mm-hmm. We have acquired all of the land necessary for the development. We've gone through the permitting process. We are now organizing the legal paperwork for the new entity, the grocery store itself. We hope to be able to break ground in late summer of 17.
Okay.
We also received two grants from the U.S. government, from the Health and Human Services, one for $700,000 and another for $800,000.
Wow. And is that going toward this project?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We want it to be innovative. We want it to be successful. We want it to, again, attract all the private investment around it so that it's not a single building, that single purpose, but all the different things that will go in and complement the District of Seoul.
All right. And to our listeners, what are your thoughts on development in Northwest Jacksonville? Call us 549-2937 with your questions and your thoughts. Now, Janet, LISC is also preparing to launch a major initiative, and this is with Edward Waters College, and it's to address the financial health. We were talking about health, but now we're talking about financial health of people who live in this same area. So what is the Financial Opportunity Center?
Well, Jessica, when we look at the neighborhoods where we work, as Paul has mentioned earlier, people want jobs. They want to build wealth in their community. And one of the main focuses of the Financial Opportunity Center is to make that happen. People will be able to be matched or trained for jobs that are suitable for them, as well as really taking a look at what can we do through financial coaching to help people improve the way they manage their current income. Mm-hmm. And where there are gaps, we will also identify if there are income supports that they are eligible for. So it's a three-pronged process. It's about getting a job. It's also about improving your financial management. Mm-hmm. And then the third is to access additional income supports that can help your family. And through this process, we also recognize that there are other factors that come into play that can sometimes be stumbling blocks. You know, if you have a child who has special needs, or if there is an elderly parent who needs services or support. So this center is a place where a family comes and the staff will look at all the aspects that are presenting the challenge and figure out ways to get them on the path to a stable, healthy family outcome. And we are so grateful to our partners at Edward Waters College for making a space available on the campus. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, with the help of Habitat for Humanity, who's the main affordable housing developer in that area, they've been an incredible thought partner, and Newtown Success Zone is actually our partner in engaging and building trust for the families of the neighborhoods in that immediate community, and helping them come and be served by the Financial Opportunity Center.
And I understand this center is not the first one. This is one of many across the country.
Right. This model has been honed and fine-tuned by LISC in more than 80 neighborhoods across the country. And we find that, as we've talked all morning, that programs that are embedded where people live get the best outcomes. And that's what we've seen. People's credit scores go up by 50%. Their incomes improve. And our goal will be to help people have living wage jobs. And so Operation New Hope, with their Ready for Work model, is a perfect partner in helping get people matched to jobs that already exist and need to be filled, and helping them become job ready.
Okay, so helping people find jobs, creating jobs with a co-op here in Northwest Jacksonville. Positive news this morning. Now, Paul Tutwiler, looking back and looking ahead, how are you feeling generally just about Northwest Jacksonville and the direction that it's going now?
Well, leaps and bounds. I mean, we've gone through four mayors, we've gone through several city council members, and regardless of who's in power, we understand the plight of the people. So 15 years of my experience in this community has been very enriching. I've learned as much as I've taught. It's mm-hmm. about understanding, and talking about our partnerships with LISC. We had a great initiative that lasted about 3 years called Empowering People, Inspiring Change. Mm-hmm. So we began to organize our community and listen to what do you want? How can we do this? And asking the community itself to become stakeholders in change, as opposed to waiting for others to solve the problems. And the problems are really, they're many. But it's about understanding that we cannot sit back and just wait and anticipate change, that we, in fact, must drive the change. Mm-hmm. It is about understanding that the CDC you refer to stands for Community Development Corporation, that we are of the community, for the community, and by the community. And we have to make a decision for ourselves, what will this community's plight ultimately be?
And what help would you like to see coming from the city of Jacksonville?
Well, we have great leadership in the city of Jacksonville. We're really proud of our many partnerships, but we understand that many of the solid plans that have already been on the shelf for a lot of years need to simply be put into action. Mm. So we are, in fact, working to actually implement neighborhood action plans. The town center before mentioned was actually part of a plan that was first passed by city council in 2004.
Okay.
So we were there. We were part of those plans. We're simply making them actually happen.
And Janet Owens, what would you like to see city leadership do to help with Northwest Jacksonville?
City leadership, and I know this is going to happen in 2017, the interest and support for stronger, deeper partnership is what I would like to see. But I think all of the stage has been set for that already with the city, mm-hmm. and I just expect that we will see more, and Paul is exactly right that we've been together. Actually, the 29th and Chase neighborhood, which birthed the Northwest Jacksonville Community Development Corporation, has partnered with LISC since its beginning. We've invested more than $15 million over that period of time with the Northwest Jacksonville CDC partnership and with EPIC. There were five areas of work. And this grocery store is an incredible outcome of one of the major action items that the residents saw. So what we want to see is greater and continued partnership with the city. Mm. They were a part of the market scans 2 years ago and have been lifting up the plans and action plans all over Northwest Jacksonville, and we just expect more partnership.
And lastly, I just want to ask for people who are interested in coming to the Opportunity Center at Edward Waters College, when will that be up and running?
That will be opening in late March of 2017. So okay. The end of the first quarter.
So lots happening in 2017.
Yes.
All right. My guests this morning are LISC CEO Janet Owens and CEO of the Northwest Jacks Community Development Corporation, Paul Tutwiler. Thank you both so much for being here.
You're so welcome.
And thank you so much. More ahead this morning. Later, a new gym in Jacksonville caters to kids with autism. But up next, where to vacation at this time of year with travel writer Judy Wells. We'll be back in a moment.
Hendricks Avenue Baptist Church is a place to experience Christ's presence and God's Spirit in a vibrant faith community. HAB celebrates diversity, seeks to bridge differences, and journeys together in an honest and authentic search for truth. HABchurch.com. Find a different way of being Baptist.
Join WJCT for an evening with Dr. Richard Freund. Dr. Freund was part of an archaeological team that discovered a 100-foot-long underground tunnel made by Lithuanian Jews during the Holocaust. Meet Dr. Freund and see a preview of the Nova episode that filmed the international team during their historic find. February 9th at 6 p.m. at the WJCT studios. Tickets are free, but seating is limited, so be sure to reserve your seat today. Go to wjct.org/events.
Independent music transcends genre, form, and age. At Indie Endeavor, we endeavor to shine a light in the little explored dark corners of your musical imagination. Everything from new to old, foreign to domestic, electronic to acoustic, we play it all. Indie Endeavor, Tuesdays at 11 p.m. on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome back. It's that time of year when family and friends seem to stop by in an endless stream, and that can make us want to get away from our houses. Well, Judy Wells is here to help with some of her favorite regional getaways at this time of year. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning, Jessica. How are you?
I am fantastic, and I love your festive necklace.
Oh, thank you. You have these things, you bring them out once a year, you kind of wear them.
Right. So, Judy, all right, none of these trips are going to take us too long to get to,
no,
right?
No, okay. They aren't. You know, and January and February are the perfect months for Southerners to travel in their own backyards. Tourists are few, the beaches and golf courses are in good, non-crowded shape, the weather is rarely cold or rainy enough, long enough to limit activities, the bugs are down, and prices are as low as they're likely to go.
All right.
My suggestion is to start and make a list with the family of all the things you want to see within 100 miles or so. Few suggestions. Like, it's a bit chilly for tubing the Itchituckney this time of year, but how about a swim with the manatees at Crystal River or Homosassa Springs?
Okay, you can still do that this
time? You can still do that. Prices run about $60 to $65 per person, and you can rent a wetsuit from the outfitters.
Wow.
Take a hike. Devil's Mill Hopper in Gainesville, mm-hmm, or our own Tenequa Preserve are good options. Get a list of state parks and start seeing them.
Mm.
Rent an oceanfront condo. A golf course condo for a family, friends, or guys and girls getaway. Why you make a lot of things require planning, like the swim with the manatees, but a lot of things don't. Hit the blue roads, those little roads, little bitty blue roads on the map, and see what they look like. Ride to places like Micanopy or Cross Creek, the Ocala National Forest. These are places people don't normally go, and it's a real getaway. In the meantime, here are a couple of specials I run across. In Florida, I don't know of too many golf courses in this state that are 100 years old. Well, the Mission Inn and Club's El Campeon Golf Course turns 100 this year. It has been played by Ben Hogan, Patty Berg, Babe Zaharias, Arnold Palmer. And now they got a special package with rates 28 to 47% below regular pricing. And you get the deluxe accommodations, golf with a shared cart, unlimited use of practice facilities, buffet breakfast daily at La Hacienda Restaurant, a 1-3-course dinner for two on arrival night at El Quesador, which is wonderful, the commemorative 100th anniversary merchandise gift stuff, and a lot of other on-site savings for the spa, for example, which is, I can attest, is wonderful.
And where is that gift?
That is in Howie in the Hills.
Okay.
Which, while you think it's, it's 30 minutes from Orlando, but I don't want to go to Orlando. It's too crowded. No. This is a part of Florida most people don't see. Sure. It's a hilly part, so you have a new kind of golf course experience from what you have at home. There's a pool if the weather is warm, and it can be. It's near Mount Dora, which is a neat place to go and wander and shop.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of little wonderful places around there. Also, I can, it's all on the website, wellsworld.net.
Okay.
All the details. A memorable meal at a bargain price is a good excuse for a road trip.
Sure.
And Amelia Island is having their restaurant week January 20th through the 29th. They have all the restaurants you think of that you want to go to that you've never tried,
mm-hmm,
or that you haven't been to in a while. But you can also bring some culinary skills home. The Amelia Island Culinary Institute is offering demonstrations and hands-on cooking classes for adults and children. Don't you think the kids would love to make pasta?
I'd love to
their
make
favorite
pasta.
Thing, uh-huh. And they have a chef's shopping tour through a farmer's market. Spice up your dining with a little mixology tour. There is a mobile cocktail party that leisurely walks and ambles through downtown so you can experience the area's bars and their signature cocktails.
Stumbles, maybe.
Well, no, it's slow enough, and let's hope it's not a stumble. Vote for your favorite so the bartending creator has bragging rights for the year. You can pick your Thursday, Friday, or Saturday night, 5:30, 7:30. It's $45, and that includes the drinks.
Great.
Not bad. There's a full list of all those things online at restaurantweek.ameliaisland.com/events. In Georgia, got great Christmas decorations.
Mm-hmm.
The King and Prince is having a contest. Send a photo of your favorite Christmas decoration to them, and you'll be entered to win a two-night stay in an oceanfront room.
Very nice.
Contest ends at 9 p.m. Sunday, January 1st. Go do it. I hope to have some specials on from the Jekyll Island West End for their two months of treasure hunting, when the city fathers and daughters and mothers hide hand-blown globes.
Oh, wow.
Now, Melissa Ross and I did this last year with a special weekend for the station.
Yes.
We're going to try to change it up and do a little more this year, but we haven't gotten the details yet, so they're coming together very quickly. If you don't win at the King and Prince, there's a Winter Island escape room. Rates begin at $129. That's not bad for a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're over 50, book a standard room, get a resort view room, book that room and get a partial ocean view room, or book one of those and get an oceanfront room. So you get upgraded. And if you're over 50 and play golf, there's a whole lot of stuff for you. More goodies for golfers at Reynolds Lake Oconee in Greensboro, Georgia, which is a neat place to go. Beautiful old antebellum homes. It's between Atlanta and Augusta, which is not a bad trip. And they have a special deal now through March 2017. The golf and the cottage package includes a free round of golf on the day of arrival. First round's on them. A round of drinks following each day's round of golf. Choice of cottage for 1 to 3 days. Breakfast daily. And pricing is from $249 per person per night. Minimum 2 persons per cottage. And these are wonderful cottages. I've stayed there. There's a lake that is full of fish. And it's a great place to go. Now, there's an opportunity for a free golf vacation here. All you have to do is sign up to be a friend of Reynolds, an insider, and you can do that by going to their website. You might win. There are going to be 4 quarterly golf vacations for 2, 3 days, 2 nights stay in an Oconee college, a cottage or condominium, 2 rounds of golf per person, and $100 resort credit, and a grand prize of 4-day, 3-night stay for 4 in a brand new National Club cottage. 3 rounds of golf per person while you're there. Full set of club fitting, woods, irons, and putter for each person at Reynolds Kingdom of Golf. And if you haven't been there, TaylorMade has a superb facility there. All the pros go. 2-hour instructional clinic for your group with PGA professionals at Reynolds Kingdom of Golf, presented by TaylorMade, and a $500 credit. So the quarterly prizes are going to be randomly selected on or about the first week of April, July, and October of 2017, and January 2018. Grand prize randomly selected first week of January 2018. The deadline is January the 1st, 2018.
Okay.
And to be a Reynolds Insider, all you have to do is just sign up.
That's right. Okay. And to find out all of the details, you said it's wellsworld.net?
.net, yes.
Okay. I've been taking notes here. I've been getting some great ideas during this segment.
Now go to Cumberland Island. I mean, we have so many wonderful things in our own backyard, in Jacksonville itself, in Duval County, and the surrounding counties. We have the best day trips of any place I think I've ever lived. And we don't take advantage of them. I'm as guilty as the next person. I go all over the world looking for things I haven't seen, and there are things I haven't seen in my own backyard, and it's a shame.
Well, thank you very much. Judy Wells is a travel writer at wellsworld.net, and those are some of her favorite regional trips at this time of year. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure, always. And Merry Christmas to everybody. I hope travel's in your stocking.
All right, and we will be back in just a moment.
Catherine Burns, one of the hosts of the Moth Radio Hour, and I hope you'll join us here on 89.9 WJCT. With true personal stories told live without notes to standing room crowds around the world, Moth stories aren't part of the disposable daily information flow. They stick with you, and you'll even find yourself retelling them. Listen Saturdays at 3 p.m. here on 89.9 WJCT.
PBS Kids is growing bigger and better than ever because now kids can watch more of their favorite shows anytime you want on the new 24/7 PBS Kids channel, after school or after dinner, even on weekends. Now there's even more PBS Kids to love all day long on the new 24/7 PBS Kids channel, coming January 16th to WJZT Channel 7.5. Comcast subscribers, call 1-800-XFINITY and ask for the new PBS Kids channel on the First Coast.
A new kids' gym had its grand opening in Jacksonville over the weekend, and it's specifically designed for children with special needs. Here now in studio is co-owner of We Rock the Spectrum, Leo Wells. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, Leo, what does We Rock the Spectrum offer that other gyms don't?
We are an inclusion gym for children with autism or sensory processing disorder, and our motto is a place where you never have to say you're sorry. So there's a lot of other gyms out there who have a lot of the same equipment, but they don't have that environment where you can come in and just do your thing. We had a parent on Monday come in and say, you know, this place feels like home. We just feel like we're at somebody's house. Who cares if our kid has a tantrum or something happens? You know, everybody here is welcome and is okay with it.
So how did you decide to open the gym?
Marissa and I are both behavior analysts, and we often go out with our clients, and parents will tell us, you know, we go out into this place and somebody stares at us, or we have to say we're sorry. And so we were researching different things to do, and we came across We Rock the Spectrum, which was originally started out in California. The CEO and founder, Dina Kimmel, her son has autism, and she started it at her house in her basement. And then she noticed how well Gabriel started playing with his sister and how they just bonded over that. And so she opened her first gym in Tarzana, and it just kind of worked its way out here. And we just thought it was a really great idea.
So can you give us sort of a visual picture of what to expect if you're coming to the gym?
So you walk in, and it's, first of all, it's just very subtle tones of red and blue, and it isn't too overly hard on your senses. Mm-hmm. And so you come in, we have a trampoline, you see the zip line, a big swing apparatus, and you just are able to go with the flow, walk in, and do kind of whatever you want versus be led to a specific direction for or piece of equipment.
Is it geared towards specific ages of children?
We have stuff from 2 till 22. All of our equipment is rated for adults, so anybody can come in, ride the zip line, jump on the trampoline, and then we have toddler areas as well, so it's really for everybody.
Now, what is your favorite activity or piece of equipment to work with children with?
I really like the zip line. It's a lot of fun, and it is something that we can really help the kids on because we have a couple different swings that'll go on it, but it really works on your core muscles and kind of mastering your own body weight. One of the swings we have on it is called a moon swing, and it kind of looks like a Hershey Kiss, and you sit on it, and you have to hug it real tight. And it takes a little while for the kids to figure out exactly how to get on it and to trust you. And you're like, okay, I'm going to let you go. And you just, you know, write it down. Mm-hmm. But when they get down to the bottom and they look back at you and they smile, that big smile, or jump up and down, it's really rewarding to see.
So what is, what's the effect of coming to We Rock the Spectrum? What can parents hope for as the best case scenario for kids?
Just acceptance. I mean, a lot of the parents will come in and tell us, we went to my gym or we went to this other gym and yeah, my kid had fun, but it really wasn't for us. And so when they come in to our gym, they're accepted. They can come in, feel at home, do whatever they want, and they all walk away with a smile. Everyone has said so far that's come in since Saturday that This mm-hmm. is their new favorite place to be.
So the grand opening was just this past Saturday. Mm-hmm. And is it the first in Jacksonville?
Yes, it's the only one around. The next closest would be Tampa. Wow. So we had a good turnout on Saturday. A lot of characters came out. A lot of people donated food and their time, and it was really awesome.
What do parents need to know as far as location and hours and that sort of thing?
We're typically open 9 to 6. We have a little different holiday hours this weekend. We'll be open 9 to 3 on Saturday, but we'll be closed on Sunday. But we are off of Phillips Highway, about a mile north of the movie theater. It's really easy to get to. You just kind of stop at the light and turn right. Mm-hmm. But it's a good central location. It's close to a lot of schools and homes and stuff. It's really easy to get to.
Okay. So We Rock the Spectrum, it's a new gym for kids with autism, and it's on Phillips Highway in Jacksonville, the only one, and it just had the grand opening on Saturday. Leah Wells is co-owner of We Rock the Spectrum here in Jacksonville. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
And we will be right back after a short break.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, after multiple setbacks, evacuations of Syrian civilians and fighters had resumed in eastern Aleppo. President Assad could soon have full control of the city. The latest on the humanitarian crisis, the future of the Syrian conflict, and its international repercussions. Weekday mornings at 10 on 89.9.
Welcome back. 16-year-old singing sensation Jackie Evancho has just been tapped to sing the national anthem at Donald Trump's inauguration. But before then, Evancho will perform here in Jacksonville at the Florida Theater tomorrow night. To give us a preview, Jackie Evancho spoke with Melissa Ross about her already very accomplished career.
Jackie Evancho, welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Lots of excitement. You'll be at the Florida Theater December 21st, a Christmas show and also a new Christmas CD you have out. A big holiday show. Tell us a little bit about what your fans can expect.
Well, you can expect to hear some of my favorite songs from all of my past albums and also my favorite Christmas songs. That's mainly what the second half is going to consist of. And I am very, very excited.
Yeah, it'll be exciting to see you singing these holiday classics. You know, you have so many fans, only 16 years old, which is incredible. our viewers here at WJCT Television on PBS have really enjoyed your specials on PBS, but you have so much going on in your career besides that, starting with, you know, it all started for you, I think, when you were 10 years old. Is mm-hmm. that right? Is that when you really yeah. started performing professionally?
Technically, I mean, that's when the world really discovered me, but I'd been performing since I discovered that I could sing, which was 8 years old. Well, I mean, that was the first time I actually performed in front of a crowd that wasn't my family. And then I mm-hmm. traveled across pretty much the East Coast with my mom doing small town competitions here and there, and that's really it.
It really grew from there. Yeah, you are a singing prodigy, and it's clear you have a love for singing. What's it like for you when you get up and perform, as you will at Florida Theater? It'll be, you know, a relatively intimate venue, but performing before an audience like that, what's that experience like for you?
For me, performing in front of any audience really is such a great feeling. It's kind of stepping out of the shoes of my everyday self and becoming someone that I always dreamt of being. And being that person comes with traits that I really don't have, like I'm not very outgoing in real life just because I'm so shy. So performer me is really not so shy, and it's just, it's great to have that feeling.
Now, you're getting ready to come out with your fourth studio album. You'll keep touring. You're still in school. You've already accomplished so much as a singer. What's next for you? I mean, what worlds do you have left to conquer?
I guess I have to conquer modeling, I guess. I mean, I want to try that, and I do want to conquer acting a bit more. I think that'd be fun.
You want to be an actress?
Yeah, along with singing, I think that would be something that I'd love.
All right. Well, we so appreciate you giving us a few minutes. Have a great concert on the 21st at Florida Theater. Jackie Evancho. Evancho, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
No further snow
And finally this hour, parents are invited to learn about arts and culinary programs in Duval County tonight. Here with more information is Jeff Smith, Director of Arts for Duval County Schools. Good morning.
Good morning, Jessica. Great to be on. Thank you.
And you have two great events tonight where parents can come and learn about programs available. Let's start with Arts Magnet Night.
Yes, tonight is a collaboration between Fort Caroline Middle School and La Villa School of the Arts to showcase the visual and performing arts programs available at both schools for rising sixth graders, students who are currently fifth graders, and their parents and community members, and to come out and see the newly constructed and refurbished art rooms. We're so excited to show off a new theater lab, dance classroom, and a band and chorus room tonight, as well as performances.
And that is at Fort Caroline Middle?
Correct. It's at Fort Caroline Middle School. It begins at 6 p.m. You do not need to RSVP. You can just show up and attend. We'll be meeting first in the gymnasium, and then at 7 p.m. we'll be providing tours throughout the school to show off those performing arts classrooms as well as the visual art classrooms and some academic classrooms. And both principals will be there, Ms. Nye from La Villa and Ms. Green from Fort Caroline, answering questions, and all of the parents and students will be able to meet the future teachers, perhaps, and learn more about the lottery process and magnet application process.
And that's for kids who are going into middle school interested in the arts.
Correct. Those who have a very strong interest in the arts, now that we have those two options for Arts Magnet middle schools at the middle school level, they'll be able to learn more about that process and what the offerings are.
Okay. And also happening tonight is Taste of Rains. What is that?
Well, at Taste of Rains, you will not only get to sample the visual and performing arts programs at Rains High School, but also the culinary arts programs. So those who attend for the low cost of only $3 will be able to sample some culinary delights by the culinary arts students at Rains High School starting at 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. There will also be some performances in the lobby and artwork on display. And then at 7 p.m., there will be a performance, a very special holiday performance, from 7 to about 8 p.m. featuring the dance students, theater students, instrumental music, and chorus students. And we're very excited because this year, for the first time, they now have theater programs at Rains High School. They've added it back in visual art programs after a few years of not having those programs. Mm. And we're very excited about the new dance teacher who is really transforming that program. So lots of wonderful opportunities at Rains High School. Another option for our students who are very interested in arts programs.
And again, that's at 6 this evening at $3 to attend and taste the culinary delights by students. And Rains, a high school that is adding and expanding its visual art and theater programs.
Yes, all the visual and performing arts programs at Rains High School. And yes, that will be at 6 p.m. And run till about 8 or 8:30 p.m. Same hours for the event at Fort Caroline Middle School. And for more information, you can visit to reach out to our department, www.duvalschools.org/arts. My email is smithj1@duvalschools.org or call our office at 904-739 4869, and you can learn more about these exciting programs.
And I understand you have lots of other events coming up to tell parents about what the county is offering.
Yes, we have over 130 events this month alone. We're very excited. I've been able to attend a few events a night, and actually last Thursday night we had 28 events in one night alone.
Wow.
We're very proud that the Douglas Anderson band recently returned from performing at the prestigious Midwest Clinic. They were one of only four high school bands throughout the country selected to perform at that event. So we have so many wonderful things going on in our elementary, middle, and high schools. And if you stop by the airport and you're traveling, you'll likely see one of our performing ensembles performing in the airport lobby.
Well, thank you very much. That's Jeff Smith, Arts Director with Duval County Schools. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jessica.
And that is our show. Thank you to all of our guests this morning. Our producer is Kevin Mershart. Michelle Corum is on the board. The show's theme is composed and performed by the Jacksonville Symphony's Pyotr Chepchik. Never miss a show. Subscribe to our daily podcast on iTunes. Next on the Diane Rehm Show, after multiple setbacks, evacuations of Syrian civilians have resumed in eastern Aleppo. President Assad could soon have full control of the city. The latest on the humanitarian crisis, the future of the Syrian conflict, and its international repercussions. That's coming up next. I'm Jessica Palumbo. You're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT Jacksonville. Your community, your world. We'll be back here again tomorrow morning. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.